Now, I'd like to read with you a few verses from the 6th and the 7th books of our Bible. So Joshua, the 6th book of the Bible, Joshua chapter 24. It's the last chapter of the book of Joshua. And then we'll read in verse 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood." Now, when it's speaking of the flood in these particular verses, it's referring to the Euphrates River. "Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood or the river on old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac." Now, for the sake of connection, sake of time, let's go down to verse 14. Verse 14. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, if you turn over a page, we can come to the book of Judges, and we go to chapter 2 of the book of Judges. And I will read verse 7. Chapter 2 of the book of Judges and verse 7. "And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." But then there was a change. And we take a look at verse 11. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam." And go to verse 13. "And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." And turn over to chapter 3 and verse 9. "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer my fingers just don't seem to work too well, separate the pages. "When the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan Rishathaim, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." Now we believe that the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. The book of Judges teaches us many lessons from the experiences of the judges and leaders that God raised up to lead his people. And each judge seemed to deal with a particular problem that they faced. And you know, things have not changed. The same challenges that the children of Israel faced in the book of Judges, we face today. As we read the book of Judges, we are reminded over and over again that God is always gracious to those who are called by his name, to those that seek him. And from among those of the children of Israel that sought him, he reserved a vision, a remnant for himself. And these people, this remnant, they always had a vision of their God in their eyes. And you know, to have a vision of God in your eyes, in your mind, is very important. The writer to the Proverbs could say, where there is no vision, the people perish. When you lose your vision of God, then you are going down a pathway of destruction. And that vision is very, very important. And all through the book of Judges, we read over and over again that there were a set of people who had a vision of their God, and they were looking for redemption in the land. And as we read through our Bibles, we will read of other individuals that had a vision of their God. We can read of the Lord speaking to Elijah, and he gave Elijah a vision that if Elijah prayed, a famine would come upon the land. And at the appropriate time, if Elijah prayed, the rains would return. There came a time when Elijah's vision faded. And he began to think that he was the only one for God. And God gave him another vision. God showed him, spoke to him, and said, I have reserved unto myself 7,000 that have not bowed to false gods. And Elijah's vision was a word from the Lord that he could keep in his mind, that the Lord had people who were seeking him. And then we can think of Isaiah. Isaiah got a vision of the glory of God. And as a result of that vision that Isaiah got, that he wrote about the Lord Jesus' birth and life and death. And so as we read through the book of Isaiah, we read in chapter 7, and we read that he will be a virgin birth, and his name shall be Emmanuel, meaning God with us, or really God in our midst. God, while we cannot with our eyes see him today, yet our Lord Jesus Christ has said that I am with you. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And then if we were to go to Isaiah chapter 40, we would find that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come as a shepherd. And he is going to gather God's people together unto the Lord. And then if we were to go to Isaiah chapter 42, we would find that he tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's beloved servant. And as God's beloved servant, throughout his sojourn on this scene, he's compassionate and faithful. And then if we were to go to Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53, we would find that the Lord Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, he will redeem a people unto the Lord. But then we could come to our New Testament and we can see the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul got a vision. He got a vision of the glory of God. And that vision of the glory of God was with him the rest of his life, and he had recorded for us all those epistles of instruction that we might know how we might live in fellowship and service unto our Lord. And those visions are very important. So we think of that. A vision may come because we've received a word, a promise from God's word. A vision may come because we have been impressed with the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. The vision may be because we have got a vision of the glory that yet shall be ours. And they can guide us, be with us. And throughout our Bibles, we read of individuals who fixed their vision on the faithfulness of God. And that's what we're encouraged to do, to fix our vision on the faithfulness of God. But we have read from Joshua and Judges. And some portions of Scripture, when we read them, they lift our hearts. And they give us so much encouragement. But some portions of Scriptures we read. And if we're honest with ourselves, they depress us. When we read of the spiritual departure and discontent of God's people. And that we can see that. But as I read through the book of Judges, and as I've been studying the book of Judges, I've read about individuals who treasured the word of God and the promises of God, and they treasured them. And while the people of God were going through physical trials, it is really their spiritual significance of those trials that really teach us lessons today. We read that Joshua led the people of God into the land of promise. And then he encouraged them to take possession of that land of promise. However, we read that the people were not faithful. They did not remain true to the promises of God. But they turned aside and they began to accept the philosophies of the gods of the people around. The gods of the Moabites and the Canaanites and the Midianites and the Amorites and the Philistines. And really that brought them into subjection to those different religions. And we read that Joshua said that they must make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And that is true for you and I today. We must choose who we will serve. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that's a choice you must make. Will you accept him as your Savior? If you know him as your Savior, what will you choose to serve him, to obey him? And Joshua said to the people, choose you this day whom you will serve. But he said, I've already made my choice. And he says, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. He had made his choice. And you know, every day, you and I, we make choices. Some choices go unnoticed, and some choices have a big effect upon ourselves and our families. And during the past week, we made many choices. Most of the choices were small and of little consequences. We forgot about them almost as soon as we made them. And some of the choices we make every day are what to wear, what to eat. But we also make a choice about what our attitude will be. And sometimes we forget that our attitude is a choice. We can choose to be happy. We can choose to be sad. We can choose to be grumpy. We can choose to be cheerful. But the choices we make always have an effect upon others. I was reading about a man called Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey was a professor at the University of Toronto, and then he moved to the MIT in Massachusetts. He was a professor. And he described a principle that he called the 90-10 principle. That principle, he said, was 10% of life is made up of things that happen to you that you have no control over. You have no control over what the weather is like. So there are many things, so there are 10% of what happens to you, you have no control over. But 90% of the things that happen in your life were a result of choices you made. And the choices you made will always have an effect upon others. And each day, when you woke up this morning, you had before you a fresh number of choices to make. And you know, God is calling upon you to make a decision. He is calling upon you to make a choice. And that choice is the most important choice that you can make in your life today and for all of eternity. And we can read in our Bible of those choices. That choice that God wants you to make is the same choice that he gave to Peter. And he gave to Matthew. And he gave to the rich young ruler. That choice. And remarkable to each of those three that I mentioned, we have these words, come, follow me. Three simple words, a choice. You can make that choice to follow him. Joshua had called unto the people to choose you this day whom you will serve. And the Lord speaking to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 21 said, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And the Lord speaking through Moses could say, choose life. Choose life. To Jeremiah, he said, I've set before you the way of life and the way of death. And through Moses, choose life. And in Acts chapter 16, we read of a Philippian jailer. And he brought out he came, after the earthquake, he went into the jail and he brought out Paul and Silas and he said to them, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" He was making a choice. And they said to him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And he made that choice. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we read as well that there are choices for believers. And those choices for believers are really centered upon their attitude. It is a choice that we must make. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said that gave them this choice. You can choose this. And he said to them, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be ye therefore followers of God." That's a choice. Every believer can make that choice. Every individual can make that choice to be kind. And then the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the Thessalonians, and he outlines for them seven choices for them to make. Seven choices. And he says, these are choices. Pray, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying of the word of God. Prove all things. And abstain from all appearance of evil. Seven choices. We can make those choices. Or we can turn our backs on them. But we have a choice before us. And Joshua in the book of Judges brings before the children of Israel choices that they must make. And we read of Joshua in Joshua chapter 24 and those first few verses. And Joshua has realized that that his life is drawing to a close. And so he's called the people of Israel together. And he then rehearses for them the history of the children of Israel. And he recounts Abraham's call of God. God called him, and he answered. And God called him and delivered Abraham from idolatry. And then he reminded them of God's promise to Abraham, "I will give you the land." And he spoke of their redemption from Egypt, and God brought them up out of Egypt. And Joshua reminded them that God had given them an inheritance in the land. Then Joshua issued a challenge for them. Will you serve the Lord, or will you serve the gods of the people around you? And you know, for a while, they served the Lord. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. The choices God's people made as they entered the land of promise have affected every succeeding generation right down to today. And all we have to do is look at the history and look at the news from the Middle East, and you see the effect of the choices that they made in those early days. And we can read through it And if we were to have read through through Judges chapter 1, we would have read that as they went in to possess their the land of their inheritance, the tribe of Judah realized that they could not take over that land, take possession of that land by themselves. They needed help. And I wonder, are we trying to do things on our own and we neglect the help that God would give us through his word? The tribe of Judah turned to Simeon, another tribe, and they asked for help. And we read that Judah and Simeon possessed all their lands of inheritance. It's remarkable. Because they confessed this, I can't do it alone, that they were able, with the help of others. But all the other tribes made a tragic mistake. I can do it on my own. And they failed to take possession of their land. They failed to obey the word of God. And the result was that they did not take possession of their inheritance. They departed from following the Lord, and we read of their downward path spiritually. It is shown in their relationship with the nations around. First, they acknowledged them, and the Canaanites dwelt in the land. And it wasn't long before the Canaanites dwelt among them. And then we read that they dwelt among the Canaanites. And finally, we read the loss of their testimony as the people of God. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods. And we read that verse in chapter 2 and verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Now Balaam was a false prophet who devised a way in which God's people could be defiled. In a sense, they began to follow the teachings of a charismatic leader. Then we read those words in chapter verse 13 of chapter 2, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. Serving Baal is that philosophy still exists today. It's the idea of worshiping creation and ancestors. And then they served Ashtaroth. It's the idea of worshiping pleasure. Pleasing self. What I want is what I'll do. But God did not abandon his people. And when in their hearts they turned back and cried unto him, he raised up unto them a leader who would deliver him. And you know, for 20 years after Joshua died, for 20 years they served the Lord. But then they fell under the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. Spiritually speaking, Mesopotamia, with its many, many religious ideas, speaks of religious confusion. And we think of the book of Proverbs, and it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So many ways that men have invented and devised, and they all lead to death. And that was what they were following after. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up unto them Othniel, their first judge. And I, as I think of Othniel, he had a unique inheritance, qualifications. Way back when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt, we read that there was a mixed multitude came with them. That mixed multitude were all Gentiles. Gentiles had different cultures and languages and customs. But interestingly, they were sheltered under the blood of the Passover lamb. They believed in the promise of salvation the Lord had given. And it's interesting to follow the theme of that. But among those Gentiles that came up, that mixed multitude, were a people called the Kenizzites. And Othniel, the first judge, was among the Kenizzites. He was a Gentile. And if we were to turn to Joshua chapter 15, we would find that the Lord said that this mixed multitude, these Gentiles, were to find their possession, their inheritance, among the tribe of Judah. Othniel had already proved himself to be an able military commander, and he had commanded Israel as they conquered Kirjath-Sefer. But now, 28 years have passed since that conquest. And God has raised up Othniel with a different task: deliver my people. God's people were living with conflicting ideas of how to approach God. But when they cried unto the Lord for deliverance, he showed them a redeemer. And you know, God would show us a redeemer today. And that Redeemer is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of the things that it says concerning Othniel, that first of all, he judged them. And the Bible says the time has come. The judgment must begin at the house of God. Begin with those who have a knowledge of God. And in Corinthians, it says, let a man examine himself. If we were to examine ourselves truthfully, you stand in front of a mirror and you look at yourself and you judge yourself, you know that you are a sinner. You know you need a redeemer. And then we must be like that prodigal son. Everybody has heard of the prodigal son. That is written about, the Lord spoke about in Luke chapter 15. But you know, there came a day when that prodigal son said this: I have sinned against heaven. He recognized that first of all my sins are against God. I have sinned against heaven. And then he said to his father, and I have sinned against thee. And you recognize this. We have sinned against God, and we've sinned against others. And they needed that. They needed forgiveness. Once they had been judged and had confessed their sins, then Othniel was able to lead them, to deliver them from religious apostasy unto obedience to the word of God. And then we read that Othniel judged Israel for 40 years. 40 years in the Bible speaks of testing. And you know this, during the time period of the book of Judges, we read of 16 individuals that the Lord raised up to lead his people. And we might ask, why? Why did God draw them back to himself so many times when they kept going astray? Why? And we can look at the book of Jeremiah and we can read God's reason why. And God says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God has brought you here because he loved you. And then we could return to the New Testament, and we could read of the Lord Jesus speaking now. And in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and the Lord Jesus is saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God in the Old Testament saying, I am drawing you to me because I love you. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament saying, God loved you so much that he provided the Redeemer for you. And I think of this, and I think back on this, choose you this day whom you will serve. What choices will you make in light of eternity? Will you seek the Lord or your own way? That's the choice before you. Shall we pray?